This is Ira Glass. You're listening to a special Pledge Drive edition of This American Life. We are spending this hour going back to some favorite recent stories to remind you why you might want to donate to this public radio station. So this last year or two, those of us at This American Life and all our co-workers at other public radio shows around the country, the shows at this station, we have all tried to cover the pandemic in ways that you cannot hear elsewhere, taking you to places and introducing you to people who are not getting covered anywhere else, trying to show the reality of what is happening. And one of those stories, by the past summer, it became clear that jobs were changing because of the pandemic. There was lots of coverage everywhere. Maybe you saw this about the worker shortage. People have been quitting jobs. People have been rethinking their job priorities. And one of our producers on our show, Khana Jaffe-Walt, put together an episode talking to some of those people in those jobs who were changing how they saw the whole thing. And she got to moments and stories that were so different than I heard or saw in any of the other coverage. I thought it would be nice to play one of those stories today.
This one I heard about from a guy in Flint, Michigan.
My name is Flato Alexander, F-L-A-T-O.
Flato is 61 years old. He's a black man, wakes up every morning at 4 a.m., walks to work, McDonald's, opens the store, cooks sausage, eggs, pancakes. He's in the back on his own, sometimes for many hours. He doesn't mind. He enjoys working alone. When I asked Flato what the pandemic was like for him, that's when he started telling me about how last spring, McDonald's began offering free food, Egg McMuffins.
First, I seen the commercial. And I'm like, wow, they're finna give away an Egg Muffin to meals to essential workers, you know?
These are the most important meals we've ever served. Through May 5th, we'll be feeding first responders and healthcare workers thank you meals for free.
Remember this? I realized watching a bunch of these commercials, I'd somehow forgotten how completely everyone threw themselves in to breathlessly praising essential workers. Two words most of us had never heard used together before. All of a sudden, they were everywhere. It's like we invented this category of worker to thank them.
You grew into Fifth. We'll be proudly feeding you thank you meals for free. It's our honor to serve.
Anyway, Flato saw that commercial and was like, oh, that'll be me serving you.
And I'm like, oh, Lord, we finna get ready to be busy. You know, that's my first thought, because, you know, and the workers came. People from hospitals, nurses, you know, they came and got the food.
Now, I thought Flato was sharing this as a moment of pride, being part of this. But no, this moment, handing out free thank you meals, it was the start of something for him.
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. Because we here working, and you want us to make some food and give it to somebody. We couldn't go nowhere and get nothing free.
You weren't getting the free food that was for the essential workers?
Yeah, that's for the essential workers.
Weren't you guys essential workers?
Yeah. So why you don't come up with something for us to have?
McDonald's gave away 12 million thank you meals to frontline workers. After 2 weeks, they stopped, but not without putting out one more commercial. Business went back to normal, but Flato kept returning to the experience in his mind. How much did that cost? All of a sudden, they have so much money for that?
They was giving free food away. If you got the audacity to waste millions of dollars on giving somebody some food, take some of that money and make a difference with one of us. You're making a difference with other people, but you're still ignoring your workers. So I didn't understand it. I guess that was part of one of their shareholders meeting to come up with that idea.
Flato talked a lot about the shareholders, for McDonald's, the big corporation, and also about the franchise owner, the people who own his McDonald's, and about a dozen or so other stores. He says he barely saw them during the pandemic. The higher-ups, they rarely came to the store. He'd always noticed it, but handing out the thank-you meals for healthcare workers, he noticed it more.
You scratching your head like, wow, you know, no appreciation gets shown towards us. Show some type of appreciation towards the ones that's doing some work. That's what I mean. It's not no jealous thing. It's common sense. It's like a show of unconcern.
The feeling that you're describing, did that start in the last year for you?
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest with you, you are 1,000% right. It sure has. Come to the company and say, good job. You guys is doing a good job. Can't hurt that this year. Thank y'all for coming to work during this time.
What would it have meant to you if you had?
It meant a lot. It'd have been a very touching thing for somebody to let you know that they're have the slightest respect for your life and your livelihood. Because not showing a sense of unconcern to people, it's not a good feeling. It's like having a relative that won't speak to you. It makes you sad.
I thought that was such a fitting way to describe something I'd heard from a lot of people who worked through the pandemic. A feeling that while they had no choice to come to work, the people who were making all the choices, if they had to work, how much they'd get paid, how safe they'd be, those people appeared completely indifferent, callous even, like a relative who won't speak to you. A server at a pizza restaurant in Texas, Ashley Baker, told me the owner used to come in all the time, and then he vanished.
He did. He literally stopped coming to the restaurant. He literally just went AWOL. As soon as, like, there was news saying that COVID was in El Paso, he literally disappeared.
When he showed back up months later, they were all relieved to have someone in charge to answer their questions.
But I do remember one thing that really struck a nerve with me was that he changed his vehicle to like a Corvette. And I remember like that kind of struck a nerve in me because I'm like, wow, you're paying us minimum wage and you want people to come in on time and stuff. But you're over here, you have the luxury of not coming in. And you have the ability to go change to get a brand new car. That was the moment where I was like, where things just set in.
For Flato, it was the 12 million thank you meals. That was the symbol for him. Now glowing neon. It put all the other parts of his job in a less acceptable light. For Ashley, it was the Corvette. For employees at a McDonald's in California, perhaps it was when they raised concerns about the lack of PPE, and they say their bosses told them to use coffee filters and doggy diapers for masks. For a guy I met outside an Amazon warehouse, it was when he says he was fired 4 times for having COVID. 4 times. This was a thing, apparently, at Amazon. People would tell their bosses they had COVID or they got exposed to COVID, and then they'd get fired. Later, they would hear it was an HR mistake and they were welcome to appeal, get their job back, but not always the weeks or sometimes months of lost wages. And for Ashley's manager at the pizza place, a woman named Solaris Morales, the Corvette pissed her off. But the real sign for her was when the restaurant cut back her hours and she became eligible for unemployment.
I was like, how can I be making more on unemployment than my actual job? How can it be possible that they gave us all that unemployment and we're still making, like, what's the minimum wage in Texas? $7.25? Like, how?
And what lesson did you take from that?
That your boss never cares for you. I don't know.
Yeah. These things just sat nearby as they did their jobs, nagging. A Corvette, being fired 4 times, $7.25 an hour. Flato at McDonald's, he was handing out those thank you meals more than a year ago. He's still mad about it. He's mad about a lot of things. That they never got hazard pay, sick pay, paid time off, health care. The owner-operator of Flato's McDonald's says he showed his appreciation by raising wages during the pandemic. But Flato's wage is another thing that just makes him angry. He went from $11 to $12 an hour. He wants more. But the one thing Flato talked about more than any other was the fact that the franchise owner and the people who work with him did not come by. Or when they did not appear to actually see them. Ashley and Solaris at the pizza restaurant, they quit. The guy I met at the Amazon warehouse, he was being pitched on a union, A group of current and former employees are now trying to organize one at the Staten Island warehouse. And Flato did something he has never done his entire working career. Recently, when his coworkers started talking about striking, he joined. It felt like not him.
Yeah, it was new for me. It was very new. And there were so many people out. It was just...
Did you ever expect that you would make it to 61 years old and suddenly become a guy who goes to strikes?
Well, you know, you only can slap a person so many times. And you only can do a person wrong so many times. Imagine you got all these jobs paying $19, $20 an hour. Some of them is giving you a $300 signing bonus. And like an idiot, I still sit here and walk to the Golden Arches.
Flato doesn't want to quit. The McDonald's is close to his house. He has no transportation. He can walk to work. He likes the people he works with. Some of them he's worked with for many years. And he likes the work. He doesn't want to change. He wants the job to change. He wants it to be less thankless. So many of the industries we deemed essential now seem to be in some sort of chaos. Restaurants are open now, but not for dinner because there's not enough staff. Healthcare workers are quitting their jobs. Election officials are bailing. And school superintendents from America's three largest school systems have all quit. And things that never really worked that great before seem to be truly breaking down. I called JetBlue the other day to change a reservation, and the recording said, "The current wait time is 299 minutes. Some food chains are actually raising wages. Chipotle, Olive Garden, McDonald's is raising wages at its corporate stores. It's a small share of actual McDonald's stores, but still. Support for labor unions is the highest it's been in years. Every week or so lately, I see a picture online posted outside a store or restaurant announcing that no one works there anymore. Like this one, scotch taped to the door, that reads, "Attention Chipotle customers. We're overworked, understaffed, and underappreciated. Almost the entire staff and management have walked out of here until further notice." Or another, "We are closed indefinitely because Dollar General doesn't pay a living wage or treat their employees with respect." I've never seen anything like it. Each sign, it seems like a whole group of employees just spontaneously and collectively decided they were done. But you know something happened at some point before now. Some shift started with, say, a Corvette, or with 12 million thank you meals. People quit jobs for all sorts of reasons, and there are a lot of people debating why so many are doing it right now. So I'd like to just make sure this one possibility is on the table alongside all the others. That a good number of people worked through a life-threatening pandemic feeling unseen by the very people who were supposed to care for them. Feeling, as Flato did, like they have a relative who will not speak to them. My favorite sign is from a Wendy's in North Carolina. It reads, "We all quit. Closed," in capital letters. And then in the corner of the sign, someone scrawled, "Bye, Alyssa," with a smiley face next to it.
Hannah Jaffe-Walt, she's one of the producers of our show. So in that episode, Hannah also talked to a restaurant server, a subway station manager, a gifted teacher who gave up teaching, a carpenter, about how their jobs changed during the pandemic, and how their feelings about their jobs changed. These are the kinds of stories I think public radio does so well because of the intimacy of radio. You know, it's possible to take something that we see in the headlines, like the worker shortage, and just get to know the real people going through it in this way where they're not sound bites or cardboard stand-ins for some national trend. They're three-dimensional people with specific personalities, and we have the time to present them here on public radio with enough complexity that you really can get a sense for who they are and what they're going through. Stories like that have a lot more feeling, I think, and more power. And if that's valuable to you, if you like that, if you like hearing that, if you think there should be a place on the radio for stories like this to exist, you should consider joining all the other people who donate money to this radio station. Because that's what keeps this place going. People like you and me, I donate because I believe stories like this should be out there. I feel like especially right now when our country is so divided, it is important to just hear somebody with this kind of depth. If you like this, join us. Pitch in with the rest of us. Help us keep these things on the air. Here's how to pledge.